Okay, I just want to make a quick announcement before we get started. Just want to remind everyone that the attendees for In His Presence have access only to this room and to the restrooms down the hall. So for those of you that like exploring, and I know kids do, please do not enter any offices, conference rooms, play with the elevator or whatever it is that you see. Oh, gee, that looks really kind of cool. Nah, no. So just kind of keep your exploring down to the outside after whatever. Okay? Okay. I want to ask a question, and if you guys want to go check out what kinds of things are available for little kids, Sean can show you what's over there, in case you want to go check that out. You can go. But I want to ask a question. What was your most memorable doctor's physical? Now, if it seems like it was forever ago, that's okay, because we're going to introduce the idea of a physical that actually our great physician wants every one of us to do, to take. I'm going to tell a cute story while you're trying to think of how long that was. When my son was a toddler, and I took him to a well child visit, this was the first time that we realized just how high that kid's metabolism really was, because he was at the about 70-75% percentile for his height, but only 10% for his weight. And the pediatrician said to me, "I can't believe that I have to tell a mother in America this, but I want you to go buy him some chocolate. I want you to take him to fast food. Get him some French fries. Get him McDonald's. Buy some chocolate milk. Feed him cookies. Buy junk for the house. We got to do something about this kid's weight." And I never forgot that. Wonderful doctor's advice. But we have an even greater physician that has the best advice. You don't need a second opinion. You don't need to wait in a waiting room. We have the great physician appointing this time as the right time for a spiritual checkup. I call this series, See the Great Physician for a Physical. And for the first week of the series, we're going to look at the heart. Our text comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. This is through the King James. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. Verse 23 talks about the heart. The heart is the seat of emotions, passions, and appetites. So we're talking about great character traits like courage, the joy of the Lord that we were singing about earlier tonight, to have the kind of understanding that we need to get through the day. And those of us that have little kids, we need lots and lots of portions of that. So what we're talking about is the center of our spiritual vital actions. Now, the condition of your heart reveals who you are. It tells how you're going to respond to a circumstance in your life. So, those that have these beautiful little Christian fish on the back of their cars, I'm guilty of it myself, and yet, if you're stopped at a red light and you start wigging out at the guy in front of you, at your kids behind you, at the guy that's honking his horn on the side of you, well, maybe the heart needs to have a look-see. So what happens when our desires fall out of balance with what God had created in the first place? He is the designer of the heart. He is the sustainer of the heart. And he's the one that created desire in the first place. God was not terribly surprised when Adam and Eve took a look at that fruit and said, "Oh, it doesn't look dangerous. From what I can surmise, it's nutritionally sound. I don't see any worms crawling out of it. Yeah. But when our desire was designed to bring us this hunger and thirst after him, after what he has called us to do, after what he has created us for his purpose, for his will, for his glory. We're here to thank, praise, adore, worship him, minister and edify his other kids. That's what he designed. That's what the desire is for. Well, how does that get out of sync? Well, how did it get out of sync in the first place? When communion with him lapsed. When our covenant with him turns into a strenuous exercise. When desire is replaced with obligation. And so what happens? Well, we start getting tired. And we start getting a little consumed with our calendar and our priorities and all the stuff that has to get done. We get caught up with that. And so what is gonna slip first? Well, let's see. I know that I should be reading that Bible a little more today. I really should get you know, serious about prayer, but you know what? I've got a sick kid. I've got all of this housework I got to get done. I have to get this paid and that purchased and on and on and on and on. And, well, if I just, you know, okay, God, just do, okay, I'm good. So our time gets lessened. And we think we're going to be okay because we're replacing it with something that has to get done. And so we don't feel quite so bad because we're accomplishing something. We've got our little list and we've checked that off. We got that done. And so, well, you know, I mean, it wasn't like I was lying down on the job or anything, God. I was getting stuff done. You know, it's all important. It's all good. And then we get used to that. So what we're doing is we're replacing the time with Him, the communion with Him, the time on our knees with Him, the time in His Word, the time listening as He speaks to us. We end up replacing it with a poor diet of what I call instant God in a box. You know how that is. Well, if I just, I just bought this book, Read Your Bible in 90 seconds a day. You know, I just got this devotional calendar and it's got a verse of the day. It's got a proverb. If I read that, I've done my Bible reading. I read the verse that was on the calendar. You know, I thought about Him today. Okay, so that's meditation. Yeah, okay, you know, we're good. Maybe in between nap time or something else, I can go ahead and fit in time with one of those evangelists on TV for like 5-10 minutes, you know. Put in a CD. Maybe I'll be able to hear it in the car. Or maybe you don't have that kind of a schedule. Maybe it's just, you know, if I just find the right church, that's it. You know, I'm feeling a little dry lately, and if I just switch churches, I find the right one. You know, I've been reading First and Second Opinions really thoroughly lately, and I know that those guys, they don't really have it going on, but these guys, they do. So if I just find the right church, I'll be all good. And so we can get caught up in a religious byproduct. And what that does is it creates a blockage against the Spirit flowing through the heart. And that leaves us open to stress, to anxiety, to anger, to depression. And the cares of the world now take that already stiffening heart and just make it harder. And then you get to the point where, you know, God didn't fix this in my life, and this part of my life is getting harder too. And, you know, I thought that if I just said, hey, Lord, I need some help, that He was just going to zap, get rid of all of my problems, fix everything all at once that I wouldn't even have to ask. You know, doesn't He know? Or maybe I'm just wasting my time. You know, I did ask him once, and nothing happened. So obviously nothing's going to happen. And maybe I just got to do this on my own steam. You know, and besides, you know, I'm sick and tired of all of the stereotype that goes along with church and those kind of people. And you just, your heart becomes so hard, you just stop caring. What do you need to do? You need to go see the greatest cardiologist. And he has a treatment option for you. If you read Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Then, because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think and feel. What happened to the joy? You can't create joy. That's all him. That stems from thankful prayer. I've been ministering to a wonderful lady lately who has just been caught up with one medical issue after another. And I finally said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a blessing list. And every day, we're going to add blessings to the list. How do we get started? Where do we start? You got up this morning. That's a gift. That's a blessing. Write that down. Name something that you can still physically do on your own. That's a blessing. Think of family members who love you, friends who love you. You still have a place to live. You still have food in the pantry. Just go on and on and on. And suddenly this list just became enormous. And all she talks about is her blessing list when I call her. How often do we have a mind set on Christ? Well, we should as often as we take in air. Because if you're looking for someone to trust with whatever it is that you're going through, he is the one that is going to tell you the truth. He is the one that will always know the best course of action to take. So that means you can absolutely trust him. His holiness reveals the heart and the mind of God. Because he is God. That makes him worthy of all praise. And when you fill your heart with this spiritual flow, the joy will beat so strongly. Won't need a stethoscope to hear it. If we patiently imitate Christ's pattern for life, every one of us is a process. And by the way, he knows that. But that's okay. He is loving and forgiving and will lead. And if we stumble, he lifts us up. If we get lost, he searches the heights, the depths, and the darkest of darks to find us. If we become stressed, anxious, depressed, he comes, he counsels. We need to trust his advice. And exchange the heart that is hard for the soft one that he created, sustains, and causes to beat. Holy Father, sometimes we are caught up in the cares of this world. And we get tired. And we get frustrated. And Lord, there are times when we just want to crawl into bed, pull the pillow over our head, and say, I give up. But Lord, you designed us to be an outflowing of your life, to show a world joy, peace. Father, we have to be able to allow you to sift us, to stir us up, to say, Father, I'm so busy that I can't afford not to talk to you. I need you. Every hour, every minute, every second. You breathe life into me. Your blood has cleansed me. Revive our hearts. Help us to remember to take everything to you. Because you understand us better than anyone, even ourselves. You love us. You created us. You were here on this earth to meet us where we are. Bring us back to your design. Fill us up. Anoint us with your joy tonight. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. Religion is heavy. Preoccupation is gruesome. But your love and forgiveness is amazing. Thank you, Lord.